Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, Jonathan Kemp is not just an author, he's also a survivor, and he's here to tell us about his new book called Finding Peace of Mind, an inspirational journey through bipolar, depression, addiction, and dyslexia. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Thank you very much for having me. Greatly appreciated.
More than welcome, more than welcome. So can you tell us a bit about your backstory then?
Yes, by all means. So the book comes out of my experience with mental health and neurodiversity. So I've had about 40, 50 years experience, lived experience with all the things that you mentioned. And what makes my story a little unusual is that for 20 plus years, I tried to solve all these problems myself. I refused to see a doctor, and there was no way I was going to see a therapist or take medication. And then I've had an additional 20 years experience of seeking, you know, medical help and medical advice, sometimes more than others. And during COVID, I realized that actually my real wealth for me personally was actually my wealth of experience in terms of mental health. And I decided to capture that in a book and share it for the benefit of others.
I think the problem is, I don't know your age at all, but you did mention 30 years. I mean, I've suffered from depression all my life as well. And back then, back when I was a child or even a teenager, it wasn't so much talked about and there wasn't so much help out there. I think that doesn't help, does it?
You're quite right. So I'm 64. And certainly when I was at school, I went to boarding schools. So when I was at my boarding schools, and actually the first 10 years that I served in the Met Police, you know, there was no talk about neurodiversity. I wouldn't have had a clue what people were talking about. I think there was some vague mention of dyslexia, but that was only much later on. And in terms of mental health, yeah, nothing at all. It was, pick yourself up, stop being so sorry for yourself and be grateful for what you've got and get on with it.
And I suppose especially for a man, I think it's harder for a man as well.
Yes. I mean, I say yes glibly. I don't, obviously I haven't had the female experience, but it does, from what other people say, it does very much seem that way. And certainly for myself, I think because I saw it as a weakness, there was no way I was going to talk to anybody about it. And in fact, the first time I did start getting help, I went to self-help groups. And that's when I first started talking about these things. But, you know, I wasn't diagnosed with bipolar and depression until my early 40s.
And was it a relief when you were diagnosed?
That's a really good question. In a way, I felt it like a defeat, which might sound a bit strange. And the reason I sort of felt it of a defeat was because, you know, I had to admit that this wasn't something I could solve myself. But what was interesting is I was applying one set of rules for my body. You know, if I had an eye problem, ear problem, nose problem, throat problem, at some point I'd go and see a doctor. Mm. However, with my brain, which is probably the most complex part of my body, if there was something with that, I expected through mental willpower to be able to will it well, which I wasn't expecting to be able to do with any other part of my body.
I understand totally. So what changed and at what point did it change? Do you think society changed or was it you that changed your mind?
It was, so I've I mean, society was changing. So we're talking now about sort of 2000s. And I think there was a shift, or a slow shift, in that it became more acceptable to get help. And that was then, I think, rocketed by COVID. But in terms of me personally, the reason I did it was because I hit another fork in the road. You know, it was either you go and do something you haven't done before or call it a day. And I'd hit that fork in the road maybe three or four times in my life. And this one was, you know, I really could not see any other option other than seeing, you know, a medical professional. And that's the reason I did it, because I only had one other choice, and that was to call it a day.
Yeah. You hit rock bottom, so the only way was up.
Rock bottom describes it nicely, yes.
I'm with you. I know exactly what you're saying. So is the book an autobiography? Is it a memoir, or is it a self-help book? Is it tools and tips to help other people in a similar position?
So the book came out of COVID. So by the time COVID hit, I had 20 years experience of managing mental health. And actually, I probably learned more the same again, if not more, during COVID than I did in the preceding 20 years, because I was forced to be on my own. And I had decided that if I could get a sustained period of sort of well-being, then I was prepared to share my experience as open as I possibly could. And I think about 6 months after COVID finished, I'd reached another fork in the road. I'd changed my medication, which I'd been on for 20 years and had stopped working long before. And I reached that point of stability. And initially, I was just going to write a memoir. And having read lots of books, I was really keen to write a memoir that was as honest as I could be, but with removing all self-pity and all resentment. So as I've started writing it, I then thought, well, actually, the other thing that I can sort of bring to the table is that I'm highly analytical. And, you know, I've thought through all the things that I've tried. So it'd be actually make sense and really sort of be of benefit for others if I included my analysis. So in the end, the book's really almost three books in one. The first bit is the memoir. The second bit is my analysis of what works, as what has worked and what hasn't worked, but with the overall rider that the most important thing for anybody is to go and get professional medical help. And then the last third is my sort of resources, you know, things that I've seen that have been helpful, books that I've read and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think it's difficult, isn't it? I'd like to say to you, can you give us some tips? Can you give us some advice for anybody listening that, you know, of what you did? But I think everybody's different and everybody's situation's different. So it's great. What worked for you could work for other people, which is why the book will be great. But other people might find a different path.
And yes, you're very, very right. So particularly with mental health and neurodiversity, you know, one person's experience is almost unique. And there's some commonalities between us, but each person's experience is unique. And frustratingly, each person's experience with medication is unique. So when I changed medication, which I only did because I promised myself that I was going to follow whatever my doctor advised me to do, because I'd reached another fork in the road. One of the first medication I took actually literally brought me to my knees. I could barely function. And that was the medication that for some people lifts them out of depression. And then the psychiatrist added another medication, and about 6 to 8 weeks later, it's like a miracle. It wasn't an effort to think, breathe, live. Absolute miracle.
Yeah, and it's the best feeling in the world, isn't it? Just to feel normal again.
Yeah, well, it's funny, I'd never really felt normal. I think certainly not before the age of 40. I think when I first took medication, yeah, things changed enormously. I think in the last sort of 10 years, I'd been really struggling without realizing it. And certainly once the medication that I'm on now started working, it just felt like a complete miracle. It was like I had a brain.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry. Yeah, a brain that worked.
Yes, now I've got you. As far as the neurodivergence is concerned, as far as the dyslexia is concerned, did you manage to get help for that?
No, not really. So I finished school with poor exam results. I was a full-on punk rocker. I didn't really care. I wasn't going to go to university. And I ended up working on building sites. And actually, I went to Australia and worked as a cowboy for a year.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, which was, without doubt, one of the best years of my life. Yeah. It was amazing. So the first time I had any inkling that I had dyslexia, and then I was in the police for 12 years, and I left the police specifically to go to university because I'd never been, and I thought that might be the solution to my problems. And I did really well. It wasn't the solution, but I'd started to develop my own techniques for helping me to understand information without realizing what problem I was solving, which was dyslexia. So I wasn't diagnosed with dyslexia until I was 49.
Crikey. That is late, isn't it? You say you had 49 years. Just wondering what was wrong with you.
Well, I think once I started my own business, this was sort of my early 40s. I'd say by about sort of 42, 43, a few colleagues of mine said, you know, do you think you might be dyslexic? Because sometimes because of the way I speak, sometimes because of the way I write. And so I sort of suspected it might be the case. And then I actually went to get tested when I was about 49, and they said yes. And what was interesting is when I got tested, I thought all these tests are too easy. And I was sitting there doing them. It was about 3 hours long. And then I got onto another test, and within about 5 seconds, I was back at school again. I was age 12, 13. I was sitting in the maths exam. I couldn't do it. I knew I was stupid. I knew I was a failure. Oh. And I was sitting in front of this psychologist, and I started crying.
Oh, bless you.
Age 49.
It's a trigger, isn't it? It takes you back there, and they're not nice memories.
Yes. Where the dyslexia was causing me severe problems, particularly in exams, yes, those were, you know, times when I really struggled.
Mm. Well, I won't harp on about that, but was writing the book, the memoir part, was that tough as well, or was it actually quite cathartic?
It wasn't too difficult. And which surprised me. So what I did was I knew I can't do florid English, you know, with sort of nice prose and everything. So what I decided to do was to write it as if I was talking with someone. And I started with the chapters which I could sort of easily remember the events. So I started with the last thing that I started with was when I went to Vietnam for 6 weeks in early 2022, I think it was. And so I literally worked backwards, writing about the things that I could more easily remember. And it was sort of like chipping away. And in the end, it took about 2 years to do the writing and have all the editing done.
Well, I think you're very brave. You've been very open and honest, and I really appreciate that. Our listeners can buy the book right now on our website, tre.radio. It's called Finding Peace of Mind, An Inspirational Journey Through Bipolar, Depression, Addiction and Dyslexia. And it's by Jonathan Kemp, who we're chatting to now. Now, I believe it's coming out on the 10th of October, which is in line with Mental Health Awareness Day.
Yes. So it's coming out, as you say, on the 10th. And actually, for the first year, all profits for the book are going to go to mental health charities.
Oh, well done you.
And then on the 1st of January, so 1/1/26, I'm going to do a 7-month charity walk, starting in the Shetland Islands, walking all the way through Scotland, England, Wales, then Northern Ireland, and then Ireland, and with the aim of raising money for a number of mental health charities, but also raising awareness about mental health and having open discussions about it.
Yeah, please, please come back on the show and tell us all about that. That'll be great. And I know that readers will also receive free access to Smart Wisdom. What's Smart Wisdom?
Yes, so you asked me if there were techniques that I had learned which helped me. And when I was at university doing my master's, I knew that if I studied the way I'd always studied, there was just no chance. So I tried different ways of recording information, handwritten, and I ended up developing my own technique, which I call Smart Wisdom. So it's a handwritten note-taking technique, and it really, really helps if you are struggling with concentration or focus or understanding or listening, all of which I know are real challenges for those of us with mental health challenges or neurodiversity.
Yeah.
And so because that also became my business, it was also quite a part of my story. And I didn't want people to think I was writing this book just to sort of sell Smart Wisdom courses. And so what I did was, for that reason, and plus because I know it helps so much, I decided to give in the book free access to everybody to the online Smart Wisdom course.
Great stuff. It feels nice, doesn't it? When you're in the depths of despair, you think to yourself, if ever I get better, I want to give something back. And you're certainly doing that.
Yes. And that for me is really important because it gives like a positive meaning to everything I've been through.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, well done you, Jonathan. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much indeed. I really appreciate it.
Bye-bye for now.
All the best. Bye.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.